Okay, Chaver, let's start with a quote from the Chassam Sofer. I'll tell you, I was back and forth a lot. Let me just pause for 1 second. I was back and forth a lot on what we should learn today, and I figured this is probably our last official shiur before Purim. And I was thinking about the fact that, you know, we don't get to spend enough time together in a together kind of way, but we get to learn a lot of Torah together. Our relationship is, for better or worse, has been defined mostly by getting together to learn Torah. And in Purim, we spoke a lot about how Purim is a great day of tefillah. So I want to learn with you today how Purim is also a great day of Torah. And even though it's a really busy day, and learning Torah probably is not one of the more realistic things that people think they can do on Purim, it's very much a part of the day because it's a Kabbalah Satorah. It's a day of Kabbalah Satorah. Kimu v'kiblu ha-Yehudim. So we have an amazing tradition from the Chassam Sofer. I'll just preface this by saying that most of the ideas that we're about to learn are from a sefer called Magid HaRakia. And you'll see why it's important that I mention that when we get to source number 3. Okay, but we'll start with a tradition from the Chassam Sofer. The Chassam Sofer says that I heard from my Rebbeim, and a tradition that goes back to the Shev Yaakov, Shekola Osek B'Torah B'Purim Bein Megillah Delilah L'Megillah D'Yoma. Anyone who somehow finds the time. Everything's so busy, you're running around, and you're planning, and you're this, and you're that. But if you could somehow, Chassam Sofer says, I have a tradition from Rav Mendel Lilig, who has a tradition going back to the Shev Yaakov, Shekola Osek B'Torah, that we have a tradition from our tzaddikim, from our Rebbeim, that if anyone finds the time and the ability to learn Torah between the Megillah that we're going to hear tonight and the Megillah by day, Muftach Lo Shehu Ben Olam Haba. It is a time where so few people actually take advantage of the opportunity to learn that if a person does take advantage of that time between the Kriyas Megillah of night and the Kriyas Megillah of day, such a person is guaranteed a portion in the world to come. Kach kibalti stam v'taima lo yadana. This is the Masorah that I have, and I'm not sure exactly why. So we're going to try to explore today perhaps a little bit of the why. Try to understand a little bit, why is that so? Why is it that a person who learns Torah on Purim, at a time when most people don't learn, is guaranteed a portion in the world to come? Okay, obviously, again, Purim is a day of Kimu v'Kiblu HaYehudim. It's a reacceptance of Torah, but it's a lot more than that, as we'll see. The Lev David, the Sefer Lev David from the Chida, Rav Chaim Yosef David Azulai. The Chida was a tremendous Svardi Gaon, who wrote many, many, many Svarim. We'll get to reference a few of them today. So in the Lev David, the Chida writes, in Perachav Tes, Uve'enai Hadavar Pashut. I want to tell you something that people don't realize, but to me it's obvious. Shim Kol Yisrael Hayom Azeh. That if the entire Jewish people were to be able to what? On this day, Asher Zera Amalek Letevach Yuval, on this day that we commemorate the fact that Haman wanted to slaughter us, and that v'nahafachu we were saved, if we would understand what an opportunity that offers us, and the way to thank HaKadosh Baruch Hu is specifically, he says, obviously to use the day to do what we need to do, but v'yaser hayom oskim b'torah kol echad kafi shi'uro, I believe that if we were to spend time on Purim, when again, you probably, you know, think back to the Purims of your life. How much time do you learn on Purim? Purim night, Purim day. You're busy running around, Mishloach Manos. You're busy figuring out the Purim Suda. And there's no time for a person to sit and actually learn anything on Purim. But if you carve out time on this day that we defeated Amalek, that we were able to overcome Haman, if you spend the day studying Torah in accordance with your ability, Al kein b'schar zeh hayinu nig'olim geulas olam, I am convinced that this will bring the geula. I'm just trying to figure out, what can we do to bring Mashiach this Purim? I'll tell you. Find some time, when everyone else is running around, find some time to sit and read the Parsha. It's Erev Shabbos. Read the Parsha, learn a few Mishnayos, pick up a Sefer, you know, Chazer, a little bit of Gemara, whatever it is. And if you do this, Yimcha Zecher Amalek, you'll be able to defeat Amalek. Ki Ayom Azeh Asher Heichel Linpol Nafal Mehem Rav. This is the day where they began to fall, and you'll be able to finish them off. But to the degree that Am Yisrael are misamtzim b'Torah, that we strengthen ourselves in Torah and mitzvos, obviously, but specifically in Limud Torah, we're able to overcome Amalek. Okay? So let's hold on to this idea that somehow Purim is a remarkable day for learning, even though not too many people take advantage of it. And let's try to understand why that's so. There is a Gemara in Maseches Megillah, it's also a Mishnah Pirkei Avos, where Rabbi Lazar says in the name of Rabbi Chanina, Kola Omer Davar B'Shem Omro Mevi Geula La'olam. You know this? You recognize this? It's one of actually the Kinyanei Torah, one of the 48 ways that a Jew comes to acquire Torah. The last one on the list is anyone who says something over in the name of the person who shared with him. So if I say, oh, Jack Katz told me this great Dvar Torah, instead of just saying it on my own, or, oh, I heard this amazing idea from my friend Max Engel, right? When you share something, when you share Torah, when you share ideas in the name of the one who you heard it from, so as I'm telling you, I heard these ideas from the Sefer Magid HaRakia. So anyone who says over Torah in the name of the one who you heard it from, it brings geula to the world. It brings geula to the world. Shenemar, where do we see such an idea? Because when Esther told Achashverosh, you're in trouble, she didn't try to take the credit for herself. She said, I heard from Mordechai that Bigson and Seresh are plotting to kill you. And that, of course, that got things moving in a remarkable way. Mordechai eventually gets his horsey ride, and everything works out gvaldik for Klal Yisrael. So because Esther said to the Melech b'shem Mordechai, she didn't say it on her own, but Tomar Esther l'melech b'shem Mordechai. So from here we see that when you say something in the name of the one who you heard it from, that brings redemption to the world. It's an unbelievable schus. So chaver, the question is why? What's so great about saying something in the name of the one that the Gemara, again, you have to understand, the Gemara is using this as a way of explaining the whole salvation of Purim, which is the salvation of Klal Yisrael. That the geula that Klal Yisrael experienced, says Rabbi Lazar, in the name of Rabbi Chanina, so now we're saying it in the name of Rabbi Lazar, in the name of Rabbi Chanina, in the name of the Gemara Megillah Tesvav Mar Aleph, that when you say something in the name of the one who you heard it from, it brings redemption to the world. That's how Klal Yisrael was saved. Why? What is it about? What is it about saying something in the name of the person who you heard it from that it brings geula to the world? So we need to understand. We need to try to understand. There was a tradition that when the rabbis would give their introduction to Megillas Esther, so they would begin with a drasha. They would offer a drasha. Right? You have it in the Midrashim, you have it in the Gemara, in the Garatas, in the first parak of Maseches Megillah. They use phrases like this, Pasach la pischa lahai parshasa mehacha. That they would Pasach la pischa. They would Pesach. They would open their discussion of the Megillah with a vart. So, and it gives different, you know, different rabbis who had different psukim that they darshaned to begin the discussion of the Megillah. I believe, I remember, the Sfasemis says, right, that Pasach LaPischa is like a lashon of not just they would begin their drasha, but the fact that the Gemara highlights these, kind of these one-liners, it's the mafteach, it's the key, it's the Pesach, not just an opening, but it's the mafteach, it's the key to unlock the whole story of Purim. So Rabbi Lazar says, I'll tell you, what is the key to unlock the whole story of Purim? The key to unlock the whole story of Purim is found in a pasuk in Koheles. What does it say in Koheles? Ba'atzaltayim yimach hamikara. Because of atzaltayim, because of laziness, yimach hamikara. The mikara means the roof. The roof what? The roof becomes mach, becomes weak. Because of laziness, your roof becomes weak. Chaver, you know the experience? Hopefully you've never had it. But all of a sudden, there's like a small little drip, you know, coming in through your roof. And you're like, okay, it's not so bad, you know. It's not even supposed to rain for a couple of days. I'm sure it'll hold up. I'll get to it next week. By being lazy, by not dealing with the problem right away. We had this little spot in our basement that used to get water. And like for the longest time, like I didn't properly deal with it. And then we finally dealt with it. Right? But if we would have dealt with it right away, we would have saved ourselves a lot of headache. So batzal time, because of your laziness, the roof becomes weak. V'shiflas yadayim yidlof abayis. Because of the weak hands, yidlof abayis, the whole house could collapse. If there's a problem, fix it before it gets worse. That's the pasuk pshat in the pasuk in Koheles. But said Rav Elazar, I see this pasuk as a point of entry into the whole story of Klal Yisrael, and particularly the story of the Megillah. Bishvil atzlis shahaya lahem li Yisrael. Because of the laziness of the Jewish people by not studying Torah. Chaver, you remember what it says? Where did Amalek attack us? Amalek attacked Klal Yisrael in a place called Rephidim. And Chazal Darshan, I think it's the Sanhedrin, Shirafu Yadeha min haTorah. They made our hands weak from Torah. Uveshiflas Yadayim. When your hands are weak, Yidlof HaBayis, the whole bias collapses. Maybe it's a hint of the bays that begins the Torah, the bays of Bereishis, right? That the whole thing starts to collapse. So because of the laziness of Klal Yisrael, that we didn't study Torah. Listen to this. Nasa sono shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu mach. Again, it's a euphemism. Sono shel HaKadosh Baruch Hu means the one who hates God, but it means it's a euphemistic way of saying God himself. By us not studying Torah, we make Hashem mach. We make Hashem weak and poor. That's terrible. That's so scary. To think that if I don't learn Torah seriously, I impede Hashem from being able to help people, from being able to protect me. Yes, when we don't study Torah properly, but atzal tayim with our laziness, yimach Hashem becomes mach. Hashem kiviyachol becomes poor and weak. As the Gemara says, ein mach ela ani. Mach is a lashon of being impoverished. And mikare, which is the roof, is a reference to HaKadosh Baruch Hu. Like the pasuk says, HaMikare b'mayim aliyosav. Hashem roofs his heavens with water. So Hashem is the roof, and our hands have to respond. And if our hands are weak, if a malik causes us to stop learning Torah, so then you know what's going to happen? Kiviyachol, Hashem is going to become weakened. Hashem, God forbid, becomes weakened. Wow. That's a scary thought. So what you see from this Gemara is that apparently Limud Torah is a critical component in our fight against a malik. That to be able to defeat a malik, a Jew has to be prepared to learn Torah in a very serious way. I'll tell you a nice vart. One of the ways that we understand the name Amalek is we understand the name Amalek as Amel Kuf. Amel Kuf. Amel Kuf means what? Amel means to work hard. Amelis, term we associate with Torah. Working hard in Torah. Amel Kuf means what, Dani? Amel Kuf means to work in Torah, Kuf. To learn Torah, Kuf. To learn Torah 100 times. You'll say, that's pretty good, no? Did you ever learn anything 100 times in your life? Did you ever read a pasuk 100 times in a row? It's unbelievable. But there's a Gemara in Maseches Chagiga that says what? Avi, you know the Gemara? You can't compare what?
100 times and 101
That's
times.
That's right. You cannot compare a person who learns the Torah 100 times to 101 times. Can't even begin to compare. It's a totally different thing. Right? Can't compare. What's the pshat? Person learns 100 times, person learns 101 times. If you look in the Tanya, the Tanya says, I think it's Parak Tesvav, the Tanya says that, you know, it was traditional, Tanya explains the Gemara, he says, it was traditional that people would learn something 100 times. That was like the normal amount that a person would learn something. Yeah, halavai, right? Halavai, we should chazer it even one time. But okay, if you learned the Daf of Gemara, you would go over it 100 times. That was like the norm that was socially acceptable. Okay. So if you learn it 101 times, what are you saying? You're saying, I don't just learn it to do kind of what everyone else does. There's an element of lishma. Keep that concept in mind. We'll come back to it. There's an element of lishma that's achieved when a person says, you know what, I'm going to go above and beyond. So a malek who's always trying to what? To get us not to strive for godless in Torah, not to challenge ourselves to be better than others, to kind of just go with the flow. A malek's name is Amel Kuf. Just do 100. 100's a good score, no? My daughter came home the other day, our Meira in third grade, she came home, she said, Daddy, I was so upset, I got a 95 on my Shorashim test, and I said, what do you mean, 95 is amazing. She said, yeah, but there was someone who got like 102 on the test. Okay, you know, I don't think she was actually upset, I think she was just looking for me to say, wow, Meira, that's awesome, right? But like, what do you need extra credit for? Got a 95, good, you got a 98, great, you got 100. So you're upset you didn't get 101 because the Mora gave an extra point for the girls who did something? Well, it's fine. Amalek says 100 is fine. Amel Kuf is plenty. But what Amalek is doing by saying that is they're undermining our falling crazy in love with Torah. They're saying, like, if people learn 100, learn 100. And if, but guess what? And if no one in your neighborhood learns Torah, so then that's also good. Amalek is saying, just be normal. Don't strive to be lamalim in ateva. And of course, our whole fight against the Malik is trying to rise above a Malik. It's trying to be a little bit more lamala menateva. That's why a Malik's against Bris Mila, without going off on a tangent now. But Bris Mila, right? The whole Indian of Bris Mila is lamala menateva, to take a person's physical desires and to elevate them in such a way. On the eighth day, eight we know is lamala menateva. The concept of eight is lamala menateva. Torah is supposed to be a lamala menateva experience. After counting 7 weeks of 7 days of Sfiras Omer, the eighth week, Lamala Menateva, is when we get the Torah, Kabbalah Satorah. So the Torah is supposed to be a Lamala Menateva experience. Amel Kuf is a Malik's way of saying, just be happy with, you know, doing what regular people do. And of course, we fight back against the Malik by trying to transcend that. Right? We try to, that's why people make crazy promises sometimes on Purim, you know? person drinks wine and they're like, oh, this year I'm going to, right? Okay, calm down, buddy. But it's good. It's good. That's a healthy thing that a person is claiming, you know, I'm going to finish Shas by next week. Yeah, okay. You know, but you know what? I like to say it like this. What does it say? What does the Gemara say in Erevin? No, Rav Dani and I learned about it yesterday. Mishenichlas yayin, yatsa sod. Right? When the wine goes in, the secret comes out. The wine goes in, the secret comes out. So everyone's always trying to figure out, what's the sod? What's the sod? Right? Yatsa sod. What's the secret? I mean, it could be that you just say foolish things. Right? But what's the secret? Josh, you know the secret? What's the sod? What's the sod, Chevra?
Oh no, I was just saying, it's like my favorite saying ever. I thought sod was like your truth.
Your truth comes out, for sure.
Like your sod.
For sure, it's for sure, 100%.
It's like a secret, right? It's that your inner truth, it presents itself.
100%, 100%. That's definitely the pshat in that Gemara. But what is the sod? So you'll tell me, everyone has their own sod, right? Josh will be Megala secrets on Purim, right? And Jared will be Megala secrets on Purim, and Ashi will be Megala secrets on Purim, right? Secrets will come out. A person drinks wine and they speak more freely. Hopefully good things, right? Sometimes, you know, negative things have to come out, but if you dig deep, you'll come to a place of mamish, you know, dveikus b'Hashem. But what's the sod? So I'll tell you a Varna I had a couple of years ago. You know what the sod? Everyone's like looking for the sod, right? Nicholas, yeah, that's the sod. What's the sod? What's the sod? Yatza is the sod. Yatza is the sod. What's the gematria of Yatza? Yud Tzadi Aleph? Yatza 101. That's the sod. Yatza is the sod, Chevra. Mishenichlas Yain, Yatza is the sod. Amalek is Amelkuf. Yatza is the sod. Getting to 101. It just means, it's the same thing Josh is saying. It means getting to a point where I'm able to express a deeper part of myself. Where I don't want to just be an average Joe anymore. I don't want to be a regular guy. I want to be a big person. So says Rabbi Lazar, the beginning of the end for the Jewish people, where does Amalek get their strength from? When the Jews are lazy in Torah. And not only do we make ourselves weak, but God forbid, we make HaKadosh Baruch Hu weak. Wow, that's a scary idea. Let's leave that aside for a moment and bring one other puzzle piece to the table. And that is a Gemara that we know very well, very quickly, the Gemara in Chulin, where the Gemara strangely asks, where is there a hint to Moshe Rabbeinu in the Torah? What do you need a hint to Moshe? He's on every page of the Torah. Gemara says, Bishagam hu basar, it says in Parshas Noach, Bishagam hu basar, and Bishagam, the Gemara says, is Gematria Moshe. Okay, interesting, not for now. Then the Gemara says, Haman min haTorah minayin. Where is Haman found in the Torah? Where is Esther found in the Torah? Where is Mordechai hinted to in the Torah? Fascinating. And the Gemara answers, where is Haman found in the Torah? Hamin haEtz, back in Gan Eden. When Adam and Chava eat from the tree, Hashem is very upset and he says, Adam and Chava, is it possible, Hamin haEtz, is it possible that from the tree that I told you not to eat, is it possible you violated my command? So Hamin haEtz, says the Gemara, is a hint to Haman. And there are many different explanations of what that means. But as we learned the other week, when we were learning about the relationship between Haman and Korach, we pointed out the Medrash that said that there are four people who spoke with the word Af. And who's on that list? Who's on the list of those who said Af? Says Rabbi Chanina ben Sansan, interesting name, in Bereshis Rabbah, Arba hein shepaschu ba'af. There are four people who gave a drasha with the word Af. And the Gemara says, the Medrash says, v'nevdu ba'af. And they were destroyed because of that. The Nachash said Af. And Haber Elisha, Af ki amar Elokim, even though Hashem said don't eat from the tree, duh, who cares what God said? And Haman also said Af. In Megillas Esther in the fifth parak, Avia Esther. So they both said Af. So you see from this Gemara, right? You see from the Gemara that Haman, Hamin Ha'etz, you see a connection to Gan Eden, but specifically between Haman and the Nachash. And specifically their connection came out through this word Af. What does the word Af mean? Why is it the embodiment of Haman, the worst of Amalek? Why is it the embodiment of the Nachash, the Yetzirah? What is the word Af all about? Let's leave that question also for a couple of minutes. And now we get to the klal that's going to help us to understand everything we need to understand today. It's famously attributed to the Vilna Gaon. It happens to be the Kli Yakar in a Sefer Olos Ephraim brings such an idea. And already in the Rishonim, in the Avudraham, Rav David Avudraham, the Rokeach, already now we're going back 700 years, 800 years, right, we're going back further. They all have this yesod. But we'll attribute it to the Vilna Gaon for today because that's where I first heard it, and the Vilna Gaon is probably most famous for saying it. If you look in Koheles, in the third parak, You'll remember these psukim. We read them on Sukkos. La kol zman ve'eis l'kol chefetz tachas hashamayim. Right? La kol zman, there's a time for everything. Ve'eis l'kol chefetz tachas hashamayim. There's an ace. There's an ace for everything. There's an ace for everything. And Kohelis goes on to list 28 times. Ace laledes, a time to be born. Ve'eis lamos, a time to die. Eis la ta'as, a time to plant. Ve'eis la akor natua, a time to uproot. Etc., etc. 28 times the word ace, appears. I'm just thinking now for a second. Let's take a look. Let's look together for a second. What's the gematria of Amalek and Miloy? Chavir, you know what Miloy is? Miloy is when you spell out the letters. So if you spell out Ayin, Mem, Lamed, Kuf. What's the gematria of Ayin, Mem, Lamed, Kuf? So Ayin's 130. Mem is 80, so that gets us to 210. Lamed is how much? 74. So now we're up to what? 284. Kuf is 100, 384. That's the Vav. Vav is 390 plus another 80 is 470. Yeah, that's what I thought. Yeah, so this farm talked about how Amalek is Gematria Ace, right? Amalek spelled out is Gematria Ace, and they talk about different Ramazim. Okay, I just wanted to... Right, Ace means a time. Okay. Right. Amalek, we'll see, is very much connected to one of the phrases of Ace that doesn't appear on our list, right? Ace lasos laHashem heferu sorasecha. You know the pasuk. Ace, a time to do for Hashem because heferu lashon apurim heferu torasecha, because your Torah has been negated. That's what Amalek tries to do. Rafu yadehem min haTorah. They try to weaken our hands from Torah. You know, they say from some tzaddikim. You know what it means? Amalek weakens our hands from Torah. You know what it means? Why is it? What do you mean weaken our hands from Torah? What does hands have to do with Torah? Because if you're really into the learning, you use your hands and you learn. You know, the thumbs are twirling, right? You get into it. The hands are moving, right? You're saying over svara and your hands are moving. So Amalek weakens our hands. Amalek gets you to sit there. Maybe, you know, you're like following along, right? But you're not shuckling. You're not moving. Your hands aren't engaged. Okay? That's what they say. That's just a vart. Fine. So Chevra, so look at the list of the 28 times that a person experiences in life. A time to be born, a time to die, a time to plant, a time to uproot that which is planted, a time to what? A time to kill, a time to heal, a time to build, etc., etc., etc. You'll notice, says the Vilna Gaon, that two of the times that come together don't have a lamed. Ace sefod, the ace rekod. Notice how it's lalades. It doesn't say ace ace leda or ace misa. Ace laledes, ace lamus, ace lataas, ace lakor natua, ace larog, ace lirpo. Now, don't be a wise guy, and you'll say, well, hold on, there's other ones on the list that also don't have a lamed. You're right, but that's not for now. The Vilna Gaon focused specifically on these two, because they jump out together. Ace sefod, the ace rekod. A time to eulogize, and a time to dance. And the Vilna Gaon says, why is there no lamed by ace sefod and ace rekod? Why isn't it ace lisfod and ace lirkod? Have you understand the question? There's a lamed by all the expressions. The 28 times that it says ace this, ace that. By the way, why 28? I don't know for sure, but I think there's 28 letters in the opening pasuk of Bereishis. I think there's also 28 letters in Amen, Yehishmei, Rav, and Vorach. Right? 28 is a significant number. It's Koach. So when Hashem created the world, the first pasuk has 28 letters because, as Rashi says, was the first Rashi in Chumash? Koach Maisav Higid La'amo. There's 28 letters, I think, in the first pasuk in Bereishis. But be it as it may, there's 28 experiences in life. So why is it ace, sefod, ace, rekod? Where's the lamed, Reb Jack? What do you say, Ashi? Where's the lamed? Anyone know? Where's the lamed? Why does the lamed disappear? What is a lamed? And this is the key to unlock the rest of our shiur today. What does the letter lamed represent? Nope. Anyone want to take a guess? What's a lamed? What's a lamed? What does it mean? What is learning. The right, learning. Lamed is learning. Limud Torah. Lilmoda lalamed. Right? Specifically teaching Torah, which is a critical component of the mitzvah of Talmud Torah. Right? Lamed represents studying Torah. You know why Lamed is the tallest letter of the Hebrew alphabet? Because Talmud Torah keneged kulam. Torah is the greatest mitzvah, at least in a certain sense. Right? So Lamed represents Limud, says the Vilna Gaon. And again, already there were others who said it before him, the Avudraham, the Rokeach, in his commentary on Koheles, they have this idea. Eis Sefod, Eis Rekod. When do you not learn Torah? Person should always be learning Torah. Person should always be learning Torah. Right? However, Mevatlin Talmud Torah, says the Gemara in Ksubes on Daf Yud Zayin, Mevatlin Talmud Torah, in source number 8, Lo Hussaas HaMeis L'Achnasas Kala. We're Mevatl Torah to what? To go to attend a funeral. Even if it means going on a long drive and sitting there for a long time waiting for things to get started, and you're not even so close with the person, and you're not going to see the family members who are mourning, so what difference does it make if I go or I don't go? It means a lot to people. You show up to a Levaya? Yeah, but I'm in the middle of learning. Talmud Torah, can I get cool of? No. Mevatlin Talmud Torah lo etzas hameis lachnas eskala. We're mevatl Torah. We put aside our learning Torah to go to join in with someone who is being eulogized, and we go in, right? We go to join in with hachnas eskala, with a wedding. So says the Vilna Gaon. What a vart! Why is there no lamed when it comes to eulogizing and dancing? Because lamed is limud Torah. And when a person is what? Has the opportunity to go to a levaya or go to a wedding, we put aside our lamed. We put aside the lamed in order to what? In order to join in with the eulogy, to feel that person's pain, to join them in their tzaris, or to join in their simcha. That's why there's no lamed. Good? Good vart, no? So you want to be a wise guy. You want to be a wise guy, Avi, and you'll say, hold on a second. So why does it say Ace Lakroa, a time to tear? A time to tear. We tear Kriya at a Levaya. But I thought at a Levaya, the Lamed means an Avel, who's tearing Kriya, is Pater from Talmud Torah. So why is there a Lamed there? Okay, so the Vilna Gaon explains it. No, don't be such a smart aleck. There's other times a person tears Kriya when a person's still chayiv and learning. Right? There could be a chayiv Kriya that is still, right? It happens to be, yes, a person sitting Shiva is not allowed to learn Torah. But at the same time, there's other types of kriya that might be incumbent upon a person where he is still chayav in Talmud Torah. Okay. You'll tell me, what about Ace Milchama, Ace Shalom? Why is there no Lamed? Why is there no Lamed over here? Okay. The Vilna Gaon has an explanation. There are other explanations. It could be that all these things are Ace Le. It's things that we're supposed to do. But who makes Milchama and who makes Shalom? Right? Hashem Ish Milchama. And Osa Shalom Bim Romav, Hashem makes Shalom. So the lack of Lamed means that there is a time for war, but we're not in charge of it. Hashem runs the show. Ace Shalom, right? Hashem is Osa Shalom. So it's not incumbent upon you to make, you know, Ace Limilchama or Ace, you know, Ace Lachlom, Ace La Shalom, right? It's not Le. It's not something that's incumbent upon you to do. Okay. But this is the famous Vart from the Vilna Gaon. That the Lamed represents Limud, and therefore Mevatlin Talmud Torah Lotzas Hameis Lachnasas Kala, Ace of Fod, Ace Rekod. So, however, now that we have this key, we can unlock a lot of things. For example, I'll just show you very quickly. Fascinating. Anyone's Bar Mitzvah Parsha? Parsha's Bamidbar? Any Bamidbars in the crowd? In Parsha's Bamidbar, it lists the families of Yaakov's children. Livnei Don, Toldosam, Lemishpachosam, Lebesavosam, Livnei Asher, Toldosam, Lemishpachosam, Lebesavosam. You'll notice by all the Shvatim it says, Livnei Don, Livnei Asher. All of a sudden by Naphtali, it doesn't say Livnei Naphtali. For some reason, Naphtali all of a sudden it's Bnei Naphtali. Where's the Lamed? Chaver, what happened to the Lamed? Where's the Lamed? Why is it Livnei Don, Livnei Asher, Bnei Naphtali? What's up, Shat? Says the Halakha Bala Turim. I'll tell you why. You know why there's no Lamed? And it's a cryptic statement. The Bala Turim says, Bnei Naphtali, no Lamed. Bekulan Omer Livnei. By all the other Shvatim, it says Livnei. But by Naphtali, no, it just says Bnei. Why? Lefi Shebeshevet Naphtali, Hayubanos Yoser Mibanim. Because Naphtali, apparently, for some strange reason, had more daughters than sons. So that's why it says Bnei, not Livnei. What? Bnei means the children of, the sons of? Why does removing the Lamed tell me that Naphtali had more daughters than sons? No, Chaver, what's the answer? Because if Lamed stands for what, Jared? Lima Torah. So who has a chiyuv of Talmud Torah? Who has a chiyuv of Talmud Torah? Vishinantam Livanecha. Right? Teach it to your sons. The Gemara says your sons, not your daughters. Women, obviously, there's certain aspects of Torah that they are expected to learn, but the mitzvah of learning Torah for Torah's sake is incumbent only upon males. Right? So therefore, Sheva Naphtali, which had daughters more than sons, right? There's less Lamed, there's less Lima, there's less Lima Torah. Okay? Because Lamed, again, the code is that Lamed, the tallest letter, represents Lima Torah. Okay? Good? Everyone with me so far? Guys aren't smiling enough. Am I doing a bad job? This is boring Torah. This is fascinating stuff. Okay. So, Chavre, listen to this. You come to Parshas Nitzavim. We come to Parshas Nitzavim. Nitzavim is a hard Parsha. Nitzavim is a very hard Parsha because in Parshas Nitzavim we have a lot of Musar, a lot of Tochacha, a lot of fears and anxieties. What's going to be after Moshe Rabbeinu's gone? And unfortunately, there are predictions that there's going to be ups and downs throughout Jewish history. Okay, so that's part of life's story. We have our stronger days and our weaker days. It's kind of built into the reality of the life of a Jew. So it says in Parshas Nitzavim, in source number 11, Va'amru kol ha'goyim. And what's going to happen, by the way, is that we're going to mess up so badly that Hashem is going to punish us. And the non-Jews of the world are going to be very confused. The nations of the world are going to be very confused. You know what they're going to be confused about? They're going to say, I don't get this Jewish God. Well, like, what's his deal? Sometimes he comes to save the Jews and he helps them and he gives them his greatest gift, the Torah. And sometimes he mamish like doesn't even look out for them at all. And he not only does he not look out for them, he lets us take advantage of the Jews, but God himself punishes the Jews. So what's the story? Why does the Jewish God seem to get angry so often? Va'amru kol ha'goyim al ma asa Hashem kocha la'aretz hazos. Why is Hashem destroying the land? Why is Hashem kicking the Jews out of their homeland? The non-Jews can't understand it. Mechari ha'af ha'gadol hazeh. Why is the Jewish God so angry? Now, at this point, which word should be jumping out at you a little bit? Which word in this opening pasuk in Perek Chav, it's not the opening pasuk of the Perek, but this opening pasuk of our section here, pasuk Chav Gimel. Mechari ha'af ha'gadol hazeh. The Umas Ha'olam ask what? Why is Hashem so angry? Vayichar, look at Pasuk Chava. Vayichar af Hashem ba'aretz. Hashem has af. Af, wait a minute, we know that word. Chavre, scroll back up for a second. We know that word, af. There were four people who used the word af, and they tried to destroy the world, and they ended up destroying themselves. Who are they? The Nachash used the word af. Haman used the word af. Af is a dirty word. Af is a really bad word. Af is a scary word. It represents a certain type of anger of Hashem. So why is Hashem acting with so much af towards Klal Yisrael? Va'amru al asher ozu asibris Hashem elokei avosam. Asher karas imam bo'otzio osam me'aretz Yitzrayim. You know why? Because the Jews are not keeping their part of the deal. The Jews made a bris with the creator of the world. And they're not being loyal to their God. They're not keeping the Torah. Va'yelchu v'yavdu elohim acherim. They're worshipping foreign gods. They're bowing down to Elohim Acherim, Chevra. They're falling into the clutches of the Hamans of the world, the Af of the world. Vayichar Af Hashem Ba'aretz. So Hashem is very angry. And you know what Hashem is going to do? Look at the last pasuk. Vayitshem Hashem Me'al Ad Masam. Ba'af Uvechema Uveketzav Gadol. Hashem is going to drive us out of the land. We're going to be exiled. We're going to suffer a lot. We're going to suffer with Hashem's af, Hashem's anger towards us. And what is Hashem going to do? Vayashlichem el eretz acheres kayom hazeh. Hashem is going vayashlichem to throw us out to an eretz acheres, to another land. And it's going to be a very painful experience. Now, I did you a disservice, and that's why I'm opening up a chumash in my hand. The disservice that I did you is that I failed when editing this source sheet, right? I know you think the source sheets probably come down from the Shemayim, but I actually put them together myself. Okay? I did a little disservice because if you look in the Chumash, can you see it? Can you see the word Vayashlichem? You see there's a big Lamed in the word Vayashlichem? So really, if I wasn't rushing all the time, I would have made that Lamed in the word Vayashlichem big like it appears in the Torah. It's a big Lamed. We know there are big letters in the Torah sometimes. There are small letters in the Torah sometimes. Like the Aleph of Vayikra. The letter Lamed is blown up. You know? So the Baal Kore is reading Parshat Nitzavim, and he sees the word Vayashlichem. It's a hard thing to read. Vayashlichem el Eretz Acheres. Hashem is going to throw us out of the land. Right? Why is the Lamed so big? Why is the Lamed so big? Chaver, tell me, why is the Lamed so big? It should be obvious to you at this point. Why is the Lamed so big? Because that's reminding us, why are we getting kicked out of the land? Right? Why is Hashem so angry at us? Why is there so much af? Vayashlichem, it's really because of your connection to the Lamed, or failure to be connected to the Lamed. It's because, like the Pasuk says, Asher oz was bris Hashem Elokei Avosam. You didn't keep the covenant. You didn't keep the bris. Because you're not connected to Torah. Explains the Chida in his Sefer Pnei David on Parshas Nitzavim. It's our second Chida for the day. Says the Chida, explaining this Pasuk, why is Hashem so angry? Mechori ha'af ha'gadol hazeh. Why is Hashem so angry? Ve'ashlichem, he kicks us out. So he quotes from a Sefer called Eretz Chaim. Eretz Chaim is a Kabbalistic commentary on Tehillim, written by one of the Talmidei Arizal. So he explains there that an amazing thing. Listen to this: Kodem Shabara Hashem Olamo, Hayu Osios Alpha Besa Bimiluan. Originally, when Hashem created the world, fascinating tradition, that the letters, the Aleph Beis, were not singular letters, but they were actually like the word Bimiloi. So, like we remember a minute ago, we were spelling out the letters. So Aleph, right, was not just the letter Aleph, but Aleph was Aleph. Aleph. Va'alef ksuva af bilti lamed. And then he goes a step further and he says that what? That the original name for the letter Aleph was actually af, not Aleph. Okay? Fascinating. That's so interesting. Without a lamed. But Hashem saw what? V'ra kadosh baruch hu she'ena olam miskayim ba'af. Hashem saw that the world, Hashem, for whatever reason, Af is a deep secret. Hashem wanted to create the world with the letter. The letter Aleph was originally supposed to be the letter Af. But Hashem saw that Af also means what? Af also means anger. Af also means your nose, right? Which is very fascinating because your nose is used for smell. And Mordechai, his name, Gemara says, is named for spices. And Esther's name is Hadassah, right? There's a lot of smelling when it comes to it. It talks about Mashiach and smell. There's a lot. Purim has a lot to do with the chush ha-reyach, the ability to smell, the nose. Okay, but Hashem wanted to start the letters with af. But Hashem said af's not a good word. Af has a negative connotation. So you know what Hashem did? Hitil lamed v'nasa aleph. Hashem took a lamed and turned af into an aleph. And therefore, chever, you know what happens when we're mevatel Torah? Kishe mevatlim Torah mistalekas halamed. When we don't learn Torah in a serious way, so then the lamed gets taken away. What are you left with? What are you left with? It's easy. You're left with af. So the Goyim asked the question, Mechari ha'af ha'gadol hazeh. Why is Hashem acting with so much af towards Klal Yisrael? Thank you, Reb Jack, for smiling. Why is Hashem so angry? And the answer is, Vayichar af Hashem, because they're not studying Torah. And therefore the promises of the Torah are coming true, the curses of the Torah are coming true. And therefore, Vayash Lichem al Eretz Acheres Kayom Hazeh. The big Lamed, don't you understand how it became Af? It's because you lost your Lamed. You lost your connection to Limud Torah. Like the Vilna Gaon told us, a Lamed means Limud. So Mechari Ha'af HaGadol Hazeh, right? Find the big problem. Well, the big problem is that big Lamed in the word Vayash Lichem. It's a big Lamed because the biggest part of your life, Talmud Torah Keneged Kulam, is missing. And therefore you've entered into the world of Af. You're stuck in the world of Af. And therefore the way to get back to it, of course, is what? Is Vina Hafachu. Is to bring back what? Is to bring back the Talmud Torah into your life. To make sure that you're learning in a serious way. Friends, if you don't have the Lamed in your life, you're always in the clutches of Esav. You're always in the clutches of Amalek. Esav is the antithesis of Yaakov. Right? Yaakov is Yishtam Yoshev Olim. Esav is the one who's the opposite. Amalek, Amalkuf. It's the world that is nagi to Torah. It tries to stop Klal Yisrael coming out of its Mitzrayim on the way to Kabbalah Satorah to cool us off. The Pasuk tells us back in Parshas Toldos, kind of that awesome moment that really highlights the difference between Yaakov and Esav. When Yaakov draws close to his blind father Yitzchak, and he says to him, Hakol kol Yaakov ayadayim yidei Esav. Your voice is the voice of Yaakov, your hands are the hands of Esav. The Medrash has an interesting tradition of how to read that. Because at that moment, Yaakov what? Hakol kol Yaakov. It was Yaakov's voice. And v'hayadayim b'dei Esav. V'hayadayim b'dei Esav. Maybe that's the, maybe the vav hay over here is the vav hay that Amalek steals from Hashem's name. I don't know. Interesting. V'hayadayim b'dei Esav. So the Medrash says an interesting thing, which is, we would say is not the Pasha Pshan and the Pasuk. The Medrash says in Bereishis Rabba, Bizman shakola shel Yaakov matzoi bebote knesios, ein hayadayim b'dei Esav. The Pasuk says, Hakol kol Yaakov, v'hayadayim b'dei Esav. It sounds like they simultaneously exist. The Medrash says, no, 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 these are two, you know, counterweights on the scale. When Hakol kol Yaakov, when you're learning Torah strong, when you're davening in a strong way, when the base Knesset and base Medrash is filled, then ein hayadayim b'dei Esav. But if, God forbid, our voice becomes weak, if we're not learning Torah, if we're not expressing ourselves in the right way, Torah and Tefillah, that's what Purim's about. But today we're focusing on the Torah element of the voice of Purim. Hakol kol Yaakov yadayim yidei Esav. If the kol is not strong, then, God forbid, yadayim yidei Esav. So says the Chidah. Here's our third and final Chidah for the day. We saw the Chidah where? We saw the Chidah in the Lev David, where he told us about the importance of learning on Purim. We saw the Chidah now in his Sefer Pnei David, right? In his Sefer Pnei David on Parshas Nitzavim, that Af and Aleph are deeply connected. And now we have another Sefer from the Chidah called the Chomas Anach. And here in Parshas Nitzavim, he writes one more remez, a beautiful idea. He says, notice the Lamed Gedola in the word Vayashlichem, the big Lamed. That's reminding us, that's screaming to us, this whole problem is because of your connection to Lamed. Your failure to learn Torah in a serious way is causing you to lose Eretz Yisrael. You're being kicked out of the land because of the Vayashlichem. You're being thrown out to an Eretz Acheres, to a land that's not yours. Says the Chidah, Kishetas your Lamed mitevas Vayashlichem, when you take out the letter Lamed, when the Limud is missing in your life, so what's left? What letters are left? Vav, Yud, Shin, Chaf, and Mem. Nu? Vav is 6, Yud is 10, so that's 16. Shin is 300, so that's 316. Yeah? 316 plus 20 is how much? 316 plus 20 is 336. Plus Mem is 40 is 376. What's 376? Gematria Esav. And that's being Merames. Kishinistale Kalimud, when you don't have your Lamed, when the Lamed is broken. So you know what's going to be left? You're going to be left with Esav. You're going to be left with an attack of Amalek. Vayavo Amalek. Eina kol Yaakov vayadayim yidei Esav. That's the Medrash. If the voice of Yaakov is not strong, then the hands of Esav become strong. Okay. So friends, now we come back to Purim and we wrap up. We're at the very end. See, this page 3 is not even a page. It's a blank page for you to write notes. Okay, we come back to Purim now. And we still have a couple of questions from the beginning. Let's just review for a second. How did we start? We started off by saying a tradition of the Chassam Sofer, how important it is to try to learn Torah sometime between the two Megillahs, between the Kriyas Megillah at night and the Kriyas Megillah by day. And he said, this is my Kabbalah for my Tzaddikim, my Rebbeim. I don't know exactly why. And then the Lev David told us that it was a Dover Pashut in his eyes as well, that on the day we defeat Amalek, we have to try to celebrate that by being Mechazik, our connection to be Osek, but Torah, not just to be Amel Kuf, but to try to go beyond that. Okay, we're trying to understand what Torah has to do with our fight against the Amalek. And then we asked an opening question, which we haven't answered yet. We haven't answered this question yet, right? And that is, why is it that Kola Omer Davar B'Shem Omro Mevi Geula L'Olam? Why is it that if you say something in the name of the one who you heard it from, that brings the Geula to the world, right? And why is that specifically a limud that comes out of what? Of our fight against the Amalek? Why is that lesson taught in Maseches Megillah, specifically Esther sharing something in the name of Mordechai? So we spoke about the Gemara Megillah, how when we become weak, we make Hashem weak, when we're not learning Torah seriously. I'll just point out, some of the Sfarim point out, that what was the term that was used for making Hashem weak? When we don't learn Torah, Hashem becomes what? Mach. Mach means poor. It's a term that appears at the end of Chumash Vayikra. That's a weird word for poor, no? Is that like a common word for poor? Mach, impoverished? Say ani, say evyon. The Gemara even translates it for us. Ve'ein mach ela ani. Mach means poor, in case you don't know what the word mach means. Right? That's a funny word. When you don't learn Torah, God, the ceiling, the roof, becomes weak. By the way, I'll just point out that the word that we're using here for Hashem as the roof is what? Is mikareh. very similar to the word mikra, which again is the world of a malik, right? Mikra means happenstance, chance, lotteries, right? Randomness, okay? But Hashem is not mikra, but Hashem is mikara. Hashem is our roof. Hashem watches over us. Nu Yaakov, you have a thought?
Could the mach be like, I know between, like starting with a melech, like it's
missing. Ah, you got it. You got it. So some of the svarim point out that why is Hashem mach? Because if you don't have the lamed, Hashem can't be the melech. That's right. If you take the lamed out of melech, so then Hashem is mach. Hashem is left poor, weak. Kiviyachol, we've impoverished Hashem by not learning Torah in a serious way. So now we understand much more, again, how the Nachash and Haman both have this connection to Af. We understand what Af means now. We developed the idea of the Vilna Gaon, that Lamed, right? Lamed is Limud. So when you don't have a Lamed, so then the Nachash gets you. When you don't have a Lamed, then Haman gets you, right? This is a Yadayim de Esav. This is the Vayash Lichem, El Eretz Acheres. Okay, good. So now we come back to the Megillah. Let's go back to the Megillah. We still need to understand why we have one main question on the table, which is our opening question. Why is it that if you say something over in the name of the one who you heard it from, you bring the Geula to the world? So friends, we're going to end today's shiur with the Ben Ish Chai. Three teachings from the Ben Ish Chai. I have here the Megillas Esther of the Ben Ish Chai, which is several different commentaries. One of the sections here is called the Sefer Keren Yehoshua. Keren Yeshua. The Keren of Salvation. Okay? And the Ben Ish Chai says the following. It's not on the source sheet in front of you, but it's based on the pasuk in the second to last source. Bachodesh harishon hu chodesh nisan b'shnash shteim esrei lemelech achashverosh hipil pur. Haman is busy making his lotteries. Hu agoral. The lottery is being cast lifnei Haman. Before Haman. Miyom uyom mechodesh lechodesh shneim asar hu chodesh adar. Okay. Very strange. Lifnei Haman. Mazel lifnei Haman. What does it mean that the lottery was being cast? Says the Ben Ish Chai, I don't understand. What does it mean, Hipil Pur Hu Goral? And what does it mean that it was being performed lifnei Haman? So says the Ben Ish Chai, it is safer, Karen Yeshua. Just listen, I have it here. Ha'osios b'seder ha'alef beis. Shall lifnei osios Haman? Friends, Haman thinks he's about to destroy Klal Yisrael. And he's actually very excited that it landed in the month of Moshe Rabbeinu, the great teacher of Torah. This is when Moshe Rabbeinu died. I'm going to be able to uproot the Jews. I'm going to stop their connection to Torah. Nu, says the Ben Ish Chai, says Rav Yosef Chaim from Baghdad, says the holy Ben Ish Chai, what are the letters Lifnei Haman? What letter comes before a Hey? What letter comes before a Hey in the Hebrew alphabet? Right? What letters before a Hey? A Dalid. What letters before a Mem? A Lamed. What letters before a Nun? A Mem. Nu? So what are the letters Lifnei Haman? Lamed. The letters Lifnei Haman are Lamed. Mem Dalid. Right? In other words, Haman thinks he's going to destroy the Jewish people. He thinks that he's going to somehow have the ability to uproot us. Little does he know that as he's busy with his lotteries and he's all saying, Moshe Rabbeinu's month and Moshe's dead. Moshe lives on forever. Because Jews forever learn Torah. Jews forever and ever learn Torah. Haman, you're not going to get the best of us. Says the Ben Ish Chai, in one of his other svarim, the Sefer Benayahu. The Sefer Benayahu is his commentary on the Agarata, one of his commentaries on the Agarata. In Meseches Megillah, Daf Tazayin, in our final source. At the moment that Achashverosh says that Mordechai needs to be rewarded with a ride on the horse and the wearing the big de Malchus, etc., etc., okay, Gvaldik. So he says to Haman, okay, go take care of Mordechai. So Mordechai at that point is dressed in sackcloth and ashes. He says, I can't go for a ride. I got to get cleaned up. So Haman, who in a previous lifetime was a bath attendant, takes care of him. He warms up the bath for him. Mordechai says, you know what? I could use a haircut. So Haman says, well, what do you want from me? Esther, meanwhile, the Gemara says, has closed all the barber shops. So he says to Haman, well, Haman, weren't you a barber for 22 years in a place called Kfar Kartzom, I think the Gemara says? So Haman's like, yeah, I guess that's true. Okay, so give me a haircut. So he gives him a haircut. And now he says, okay, get on the horse. All right, so Mordechai says, oh, you know what? My back is hurting. I've been fasting. I've been davening a lot. It's hard for me to climb up on the horse. I can't get up. I'm very weak from all my fasting. Right? So maybe you can help me get on the horse. Well, I don't have a step stool. What do you want me to do? Get down on the floor. I'll step on you and I'll climb onto the horse. Haman says to Mordechai, Megillat HaZayin Amar Aleph, ascend and ride the horse. Amar Leh Lo Yechilna, I can't do it. I'm too weak. Right? So he bends down and he climbs up on Haman's back to climb onto the horse. Ki Salik, as Mordechai is ascending, Ba'ot Bey. He gave him a kick. He kicked him in the stomach. Amar Leh, Haman looks at Mordechai and says, you Jew, doesn't it say in your sources, Binfol Oivecha Al Tismach? When your enemy is down, do not rejoice. Right? Mordechai, you've got the upper hand for the moment. But isn't it wrong, even by your own Jewish standards, to kick your enemy when he's down? Amar Leh, it says, Mordechai, no, you don't understand. Hani mili bi Yisrael. If I get into a fight with my fellow Jew, right? If there's a Jew who, unfortunately, I'm not on good terms with, so al tismach, I shouldn't rejoice at his downfall. But when it comes to didchu, when it comes to you, Amalek, not only should we kick you, we should kill you. Va'ata abamosemo tidroch. You should trample their high places. You should step all over their high places. Says the Ben Ish Chai in his Sefer Benayhu. Beis Nun Yod Heva. Benayhu is the name of the Sefer. Benayahu. Says the Ben Ish Chai, why did Mordechai step on Haman? So says the Ben Ish Chai, because again, when you step on top of something, it's the same idea. Lifnei Haman, we just learned. Lifnei Haman, the letters before Haman are what? Are what? Are Lam and Mem Dalet. So the same thing here. When you climb on top of Haman, Mordechai says, when I step on top of you, right, it's a way of reminding myself that how do I have the upper hand over you? It's specifically because of Bizchus Eisek HaTorah. Haramaz Ba'os Lamed, says the Ben Ish Chai. Shehu Lashon Limud. So when I step on Haman, when I climb up on Haman, I'm climbing to those letters of Lamed Mem Dalet, which are the letters Lifnei Haman. And that's what Mordechai was hinting to Haman. It's through the Zchus of our Torah that we're going to be successful. After all, the Gemara says Mordechai was sitting and teaching Torah at the time that Haman came to take him and to give him that ride on the ride on the horse. Okay? However, last but not least, we still have our question. So why is it that the source for HaOmer Davar B'Shem Omer, or maybe Geula La'olam, why is that learned from Mordechai and Esther? And what does it mean? Why is it such a big deal? Why is it such a big deal? Oh, David Lifshitz told me this Dvar Torah. You got to hear this, right? Oh, I read this amazing, I read most of the amazing ideas we learned today from the Sefer Magid Harakia by Rabbi Daniel Gladstein. Right? Why, who cares? What difference would it make? The Torah is true regardless. What difference does it make if Rabbi Lazar quotes Rabbi Hanina, who then just say what you want to say, say the truth. Why is it so important to say something over in the name of the one who you heard it from, B'Shem Omro? So says the Ben Ish Chai in his Sefer Ben Yehoyada on Meseches Megillah, he says, I'll tell you why. Because if you try to say things and you try not to give the honor to the one who you heard it from, what are you trying to do? You're being a Baal Gaiva. You're pretending it's your own, you know. Imagine, you know, Jared tells me this amazing chiddush. He says, Rebbe, you know, I was relearning the sugya of Poreis Mapa and Psachim, and I came up with the following idea. It's an amazing idea. Well, Jared, it's an amazing idea. You thought of that on your own? Yeah. You looked around? Anyone write that in any of the svarim? Nope. I didn't see it anywhere. Wow. So imagine I come the next day, right, to someone, I say, oh, let me tell you this amazing insight I have in Paris Mappa. So that's Gaivadik. I'm trying to take kavod for myself. And then the person says, wow, you thought of that? Wow, it's amazing. It's Gaiva. Amalek is Gaiva. We've been learning how we defeat Amalek through what? Through Talmud Torah. But when I share Torah, and I admit to the one who I heard it from, when I show a bittel to my Rebbe, the same way my Rebbe had a bittel to his Rebbe, so I show a sense of what? A lack of Gaiva. And what I'm really expressing is what? Something I mentioned earlier in this year, Torah Lishma. I'm learning Torah for the right reasons. I'm not learning Torah for the wrong reasons, I'm learning Torah for the right reasons. So listen, says the Ben Ish Chai, with this we conclude. Says the Ben Ish Chai, a person who uses Torah in a way to enhance their own honor, it's Gaiva Dik, right? And we spoke a lot about how Malik is Gematria Ram, Ram is elevated, Gaiva, they think they're big shots, Lamed, Torah, big Lamed, it's the biggest letter. It can make you a big person. But you have to do so with humility. So when a person, Im Omer Dvar Torah ve'eno Omer b'shem Omro, says the Ben Ish Chai, if you say Dvar Torah and you don't admit to where you heard it from, Zeya Machmas Gaiva, Sherotzel Yizgaos B'talis Acherim, right? You want to wear the distinguished garment of someone else. You're stealing their Torah ideas. Sheyachshvo Olam Shadavar Zehu Machadish Asomidaito. You want the other person to believe this is my chiddush. That's a terrible thing. So when you do say Torah and you admit to where you heard it from, you're rejecting, you're showing gaiva to be repulsive to you, and you're learning Torah lishma. Look at the word gaiva. Look at the word gaiva. What happens if you put a lamed into the gaiva? What happens if you take that gaiva and you break it by limud Torah lishma, a proper lamed? If you put a lamed into gaiva, what does it become? No? Geula. Kola omer davar b'shem omro. If you say over Torah in the name of the one you heard it from, and you don't act like an amalek bal gaiva like Haman, so then maybe geula, the proper lamed, the restoration of the lamed, brings the geula to the world. So chevra, this is why we need to find the time. Why did I give you this whole long drasha? Because I want you to find time tonight, tomorrow. It's a busy day. It's a short day. It's a Friday. It's hard to find the time to learn. But the way that we climb on top of Haman, right, the letters lifnei Haman, the way that we restore restore Hashem's love of Klai Yisrael, from the of being exiled, to get it back to Aleph, to come back to Hashem, right, to put that Lamed back in, is through Limud Torah, through proper Limud Torah. That's how we solidify our hands against the attack of Esav and Amalek. Okay, so we should be zeicha. Hashem should help us take advantage. It's a segula nifla. Again, the Chassam Sofer says, I don't know why, but I promise you, if you find the time tonight when you get back from Megillah reading to sit down and learn and not get distracted with other things, if you learn between tonight's Megillah and tomorrow's Megillah, so then you're guaranteed a portion in Olam Haba. You're a Ben Olam Haba. What more of a promise could you want from this world?